Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. Before we turn to God's Word, let's come before Him in a time of prayer. Our Father in Heaven, we thank You that You are with us. We thank You that You've given us Your Word. Would You now bless it to us by Your Spirit, that we might be edified and built up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, picking up at verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as He has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. Well, so far we've been seeing in 1 Corinthians 15 that Paul is sort of refuting this idea in Corinth that when people die, they just kind of stay dead. And he introduces this next section using a rhetorical device, which is called an anthopyphora. Anthopyphora, which I only just looked up, so don't think I'm particularly smart. But basically, it's a rhetorical device where you ask a hypothetical question that you're then going to refute. You put a hypothetical question in your opponent's mouth and then answer it. And that's what the Apostle Paul does here. So he asks this question. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Now, we shouldn't think of this question as a legitimate question from someone in Corinth, as though there's someone there who's just, you know, on a question and answer panel and really wondering what our bodies will be like in the new body. That's not what's going on here. And we know that that's not what's going on here by Paul's response. You foolish person. Now, if this was a legitimate question of the Corinthians, what's our body going to be like in the new heaven and the new earth, Paul would not have said, you foolish person. Rather, as I said, this is a rhetorical device to sort of raise the topic of discussion. And that is, effectively, if we die, and if our body corrupts, then how can we be raised from the dead? You know, so you can imagine the objection. You bury a person, you know that their body decays, and that all they have left is bones. Or, someone's buried at sea. Or someone's burnt to death. And there's no remains left. How can that person be raised from the dead if they've got no body to be raised with? Paul says, you foolish person. This is a ludicrous challenge to the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. The fact that bodies decay does not stop the Lord from raising them from the dead. And just before we proceed any further, let me offer this to you as a wonderful encouragement for those of you who have doubts about the way people have been buried in your life. Maybe you have a loved one that died and their body was never found. Maybe you have a loved one who died overseas and you never got to see the burial. Maybe you have friends that were cremated and you have concerns about what might take place. None of these things stop the Lord from raising those people from the dead. So do not fear. Do not be anxious. Nothing hinders the resurrection of the dead because of the power of God. And Paul then gives sort of like a threefold argument, pulling on three different aspects of the created order in order to highlight one simple response. And that is that we're very used to things having different makeup and it being completely in the power of God. So, Firstly, he pulls from the example of plant life, and he says, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat, or of some other grain. I wonder if you can pick up the argument here. The Apostle Paul says, think about the plant. When you take a seed, it's a seed, it's not a plant, it's just a seed. Yet you put it in the ground, and the seed dies and gives birth to a new type of body. So one body passes away, but a new body comes up from it. And so in that we see that it's possible in the power of God for one thing to pass away and for a new thing to come from it. Then he draws from the animal kingdom. He says from verse 39, not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. What's his point here? Well, his point is simply that God gives different bodies to different entities for his purposes and by his power. Our bodies are different to my dog's body, and our pet fish, and our pet cat, and our pet chicken, and all the other pets that you might have. We have different bodies, yet all of them have life, and breath, and movement, and all of that comes from the power of God. So there's nothing stopping God giving another body to the dead that are raised. And then lastly, he draws from the heavenly beings, from this universe, the stars and the planets, etc. And so he says, there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. The star differs from star in glory. And so he looks up to the heavens and he says, look up at the stars, consider them. Look at their glory in comparison to this earth, which is so mundane and earthly. They're different, and yet they both have their power and their place under the sovereign created order of God. And he gives glory to one as he deems right, and he gives lesser glory to another. One star shines in more brilliance than another. One is nearer, one is further away. Yet they all have their purpose, and they all are given their glory and power and place by the Lord himself. And so we can have confidence that likewise he will raise the dead and give them bodies, glorious bodies, for his purposes. And this is going to lead into the next section, as he actually answers the question anyway of what sort of bodies we will have. But before we get to there tomorrow, I want you to just take away one thing. And that one thing is, as I've already said, there is nothing that can stop God from raising the dead with eternal bodies. Bodies that will not fail. Heaven or hell, every person will be raised from the dead, whether they were buried, or whether they were cremated, whether they were lost in a mine, or whether they were cast into the ocean. Every body will be raised from the dead, and every person will live in that body for eternity, either in heaven or in hell, which should give us and fill us with a zeal for the gospel, right? Because if the lost are going to be raised with a body, just like the saved are, how terrible it will be for the lost, and yet how glorious it will be for the saved. And that should motivate us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that there is no doubt that you will raise us from the dead. And we ask that, Lord, you would comfort our souls as we think about those that we have farewelled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.